Amen. Amen. If you would, turn your Bible. We're going to start in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. And as you're turning there, how is a baseball team like pancakes? They both need a good batter. So, to start a zoo, you need at least one panda, one grizzly, and two polars, because that's the bare minimum, in case you were looking to start a zoo. Amen? So, before we start reading in the book of Ephesians, I want to kind of set the context for our passage today. I'm going to read a couple verses in Genesis chapter 1 real quick, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So to kind of set the context a little bit here, we see that God created Adam and Eve, his wife, and he placed them in the paradise of the Garden of Eden. And the question is why? Why did God create Adam and Eve? Why did God create mankind? Well, first and foremost, we were created to be the objects, amen, to be the recipients of his precious, unconditional love. That's first and foremost. Second reason is so that we could have dominion over the earth. And we saw that word dominion in our passage this morning. What does dominion mean? Well, dominion simply means to rule over it. God gave man complete dominion over all the earth. That's what we read here in Genesis chapter 1. God gave man complete dominion over the earth. Man was designed for that dominion. God created us for that dominion. So God gave Adam and Eve everything they needed and much, much more. Amen? But as we look around us today, it's painfully obvious that something's gone wrong, isn't it? Man no longer has dominion. Man no longer has rule. Man is no longer in control. Man is no longer in charge. Man's dominion has been taken away. And the question is, by whom? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that Satan is now in control of this world, and he is its prince. Amen? Now, we see a system all around us, don't we? All the war, the disease, the hatred, the violence, the heartache, all those things, that is Satan's system all around us. And many ask, they say, "Pastor, if God made man to have dominion, what went wrong? Is there any hope?" Well, that's where I want us to pick up this morning in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, if you would. Amen. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, skip down to verse 15. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer." So to kind of set the context for this passage, this is the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this letter on the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit to the church at Ephesus. And this is his prayer. He said, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might and all dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And Jesus put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So here we see the Apostle Paul's heartfelt desire for God's people and the Christians at Ephesus. What we need to understand that this was not just a prayer, but it's also a declaration of our hope in Jesus Christ. That's because in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve allowed Satan to deceive them and legally take their dominion over this world. Amen? That dominion that God gave them at creation, Satan legally took from them. It's rightfully his, and that leaves us helplessly lost. But praise God, God never stopped loving us. Amen. And we are here today, worshiping Christ for his redemptive work for us on Calvary's cross. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He was victorious over our enemy. And because he lives, we can have eternal life. And not just eternal life, but we can also regain that lost dominion that we lost to Satan. Now, in order for us to regain what God intended us to have, look what we need. Look at verses 17 and 18. Three things we need. The Apostle Paul says that the Father of glory, that our Heavenly Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom, the revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of truth. Those are the things that we need in order for us to regain that which we lost. Now, I want you to note here that the Apostle Paul, He didn't once pray for wealth and health, did he? Not at all. He prayed that we would understand exactly what we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? So this morning I want us to consider some of these truths. Amen? And the first thing I want us to consider is that when Adam lost man's dominion, it was legally lost. Amen? It was legally lost. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, next chapter over. We'll start at verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all... How many of us? All of us. Whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Amen. When he's talking about we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, who is the prince of this world? Satan. Amen. He is the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. Now, what these verses are describing, they're describing all of us. They're describing all of mankind apart from Jesus Christ. Unsaved, we walk what the Bible says here according to the course of this world. We walk according to Satan's system. This world is now Satan's system. Amen? We are the sons of disobedience under Satan's dominion. We follow after the lust of the flesh, fulfilling its desires and the desires of our unclean minds. Amen? Now, we need to understand that Satan was not originally who he is today. Amen? Satan was originally created as a powerful, beautiful angel named Lucifer. Now, the name Lucifer means light bearer. He was the light bearer of heaven, created beautiful. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. Listen to how this describes Satan. It says, "You were the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." But then Lucifer allowed pride to enter in. Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 12. The Bible says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Do you see his eye problem? Much different from Brother Ken's, hopefully. Amen. He had an eye problem. He let pride enter into his heart. So the Bible tells us that Satan leads a rebellion against God, and he deceives one-third of all the angels to follow him. Now, Satan's angels, those angels who fell and they followed Satan, the Bible calls them demons or unclean spirits. And because of his sin, Lucifer becomes Satan. The light bearer of heaven becomes the prince of darkness of the earth. Lucifer becomes Satan. And the Bible tells us that Almighty God then summons Michael the archangel to banish Satan from heaven. So Michael and his angels cast Satan and his angels to the earth. And we see this account in the book of Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 7, and I'll read it to you. "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So Satan is banished from heaven, and he's cast down to the earth. I want you to kind of keep this into context. Satan, this mighty, powerful, beautiful angel, is now cast out of heaven and he's banished to earth. And he sees this massive planet. And when he gets here, who does he see have dominion over it? Adam and Eve, man. Scrawny little weak man. And it infuriates him. So Satan, seeing Adam and Eve having dominion over the earth, he devises a plan to achieve on earth what he failed to do in heaven. So he deceives Adam and Eve into believing his lies and disobeying God. And in doing so, he strips them of their dominion, and he takes that dominion for himself. You see, Satan lost the war in heaven against God, but he won the battle on earth against God's beloved. Amen? That's what we need to understand. And some say, "Pastor, God is almighty. Why doesn't he just go and take it back from Satan?" Absolutely, God is almighty, but God is also righteous and just and holy. We have to keep that in mind. And God sees all things, and he rules over all things through the eyes of that perfect justice. So since man's dominion was legally lost, it can only be regained legally as well. So Adam and Eve, they willfully, of their own choice, disobeyed God and followed Satan. And at that very moment, they became servants to Satan. Listen to what God says in the book of Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? What God is telling us here is we weren't created like robots, amen? We weren't created as robots. We were created with a free will to choose who we want to follow, God or Satan, right or wrong, eternal life or eternal damnation. All of that is our choice. Adam and Eve had the right to choose the same way that we do today, amen? And Adam chose to reject the righteous way of God, and he chose to sin and become Satan's servant, a servant to sin. That was his choice. So a lot of people ask, they say, Pastor, how do we know that Satan has legal dominion over the earth? Well, to find out, we got to go back into God's Word, Luke chapter 4. So most of us are familiar with the account when Satan takes Jesus out into the desert and he tempts him for 40 days and 40 nights, right? So in that account, I'm going to pick up in Luke 4, verse 5. Then the devil, taking Jesus up high on a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, all this authority I will give you and their glory. Listen. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now, what we have to take note here, in that passage, Jesus never once disputed Satan's claim to that dominion. Not once. Satan took him up on that high mountain, showed him every kingdom of the world, and told him they were all his. Jesus never disputed that fact. Amen? That's how we know it was legally his. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Man's dominion was legally lost. Amen? Second truth I want us to see here, not only was man's dominion legally lost, but it was also rightfully regained. Staying in the book of Ephesians, just go to Ephesians chapter 1. Skip down to verse 19. Back to our original text, going down to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, above all power, above all might and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. So what is all these verses talking about? Well, they're simply put, They're talking about how Jesus got all of it back. Amen? How Jesus got our lost dominion back. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Why would Almighty God take on humanity, sweat blood in Gethsemane, and die in agony? Why? To rightfully regain for us what Adam had given away. Amen? That's exactly why. It was the only just way to get it back. If God were, you know, again, God is almighty. If he were to just go and snatch it back from Satan, we have to understand that he would make a mockery of his divine justice at that point. Amen? He would cease being holy. He would cease being righteous. And in that, he would cease being God. What we lost to Satan had to be legally regained. So I want you to understand the key to it all. So dominion was given to a man and was lost by a man, Adam. Amen? Therefore, it must be regained back by a man, and not just any man. It had to be one in which Satan had no claim over. It had to be a man in which Satan had no control over. He had to be of Adam's race, but not the son of Adam. Amen? We understand that? He had to be of Adam's race, but he could not be the son of Adam. And there is only one that could meet that requirement. And that is the incarnate God, Jesus Christ himself. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, skipping down to verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hebrews 2:14. Insomuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. He took on flesh and blood as well, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So in order to regain man's dominion, in order to put down the works of Satan, in order to fulfill the law, in order to conquer death, hell, and the grave, Jesus had to become a man and rightfully take back what Adam had lost to Satan. Amen? And not just become a man, but he also had to be a perfect and sinless man. Galatians 4. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time had come, meaning when the perfect time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. So Jesus, conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, born of the Virgin Mary, he was free of Satan's control. He was free of Satan's dominion. He was fully man, and yet he was still fully God. He was the incarnate God. Now, I want you to take a note here. Jesus did not defeat Satan with his almighty power as God, did he? Jesus defeated Satan with his limitations as a man on Calvary's cross. Amen? And when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus had two weapons to defend himself with. One was the anointing of God's Holy Spirit, and the second was the authority of what? The Word of God. Amen? God's Holy Spirit and the authority of the Word of God. The very same weapons that you and I have today. And so Jesus, in his humanity, he willingly went to dark Calvary. Amen? And there, he took our shame. He took our blame. He took every sin that mankind had against him. Every horrid, every wicked, every dark sin that man has ever committed. And there, holy and perfect God became sin for us. Nailed to that cross, Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai." It is finished. It is paid in full. Jesus got it all back. We no longer have to be slaves and servants to Satan. We've been redeemed by his precious blood. Amen. And we know they took his dead and battered body and they laid it in that cold and dark tomb. But praise God, death could not hold him. Amen. On that third day, Jesus grabbed death by the throat. He put the grave under his feet and he arose victorious with a crown upon his head and the keys of hell and death in his hands. Amen. Give him praise and glory this morning. You see, that's what our scripture is talking about there in Ephesians chapter 1. And that's what the Apostle Paul prayed, that we would get wisdom and understanding of all that we are in Christ Jesus and all that he has done for us. Amen. What was legally lost, he legally regained. The third truth I want us to see this morning is that it was also gloriously given. Amen? Gloriously given. I want you to think about that for a second. In that piece of scripture, it said that if we were the sons of God, then heirs, and not just heirs, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that everything that Jesus inherits, guess who else inherits it? We do. We are joint heirs with Christ. God will give that dominion back to us, back to those who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Staying in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 8. Our internet will work. When Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive. I want you to underline that in your Bible. That's very important. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. What does that mean that he led captivity captive? That means he led Satan and sin captive. That means they no longer have rule over us as long as we are in him. Amen? In Jesus Christ, our hope is restored and we now have a new position. And we need to understand that he didn't do all of that for himself, did he? He did all of it for us. He became the Son of Man in order for us to become the sons of God. He took our shame so that we could taste his glory. Jesus has overcome, and we have been redeemed and restored.